It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody's split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20. Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in!
For the snap in the place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome into the show. Thursday night, and time to talk a little college basketball, college football, and what have you here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Of course, basketball last night at Neville Arena. The Tigers are winner over NC State. It was a big night, signing day yesterday for the Auburn football team, which left a little bit to be desired. We'll talk about that and what the Tigers need to do in the transfer portal coming up with a new coach, Alex Golish. And, of course, we'll talk about Coach Golish and his staff that he has put together, DJ Durkin, and some others that are already involved. Cody Burns coming from South Florida to Auburn, returning to Auburn. And we'll talk a little bit about the college football playoff scene as well. Interesting times there with the games coming up this weekend. And Pavia from Vanderbilt making some noise as he has apparently contacted the White House to try to get Vanderbilt involved in the playoffs in case
they
don't
make it. Is the phone red, black, gold? What color is the phone?
I don't know. It must be gold, don't you think, Vanderbilt?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, Brian Brinsfield, you hear him there, former Auburn Tiger, always an Auburn Tiger, national champion, is with us from his home in Tennessee. Brian, good to have you on the show.
Thanks. Great to be here. I'll be down in your neck of the woods tomorrow.
Exactly. Tomorrow, and we're having you want to tell the folks about that a little bit? We're having a little celebration for your dad's life.
Yeah, having a little service for Dad, Eastern Shore Baptist Church from 12 to 4 on Saturday if you want to come out and be a part of that. It's a get-together. We're not sitting in pews. We're going to just sit and talk and tell stories, which is what Dad's life was about, was stories. So we'll be doing that from 12 until people shut up, I guess, and go home.
Have you heard the one?
Yeah, that's right. And another, have you heard the one is one of his lines? And then in this one, I know I've told you this, but, and he just kept on telling you, whether you've heard
it or not,
10 times or not.
Yeah.
So we'll be down there and get to see some people that I haven't seen in quite some time and and see the people that, you know, I've just had so many calls from people down there about the lives that Dad touched, and
right,
it's been
right.
real encouraging.
Right. Kevin Fichtner, Mr. Auburn, is with us also. Kevin, I know you took in the ball game last night with your daughter. Coach Golish was there. The Tigers were, I'll say two of them were on fire last night, especially in the second half there. That was pretty amazing to see Keyshawn, what he did in the second half. What did he have to eat at halftime?
Yeah, it was a great ball game. First of all, the three amigos are back together. I don't know if we've been back together since around March or April of earlier this year. So it's great to have the three of us together. But yeah, it was a late tip last night, 8:20, and I took my middle child, my 10-year-old Catherine, and we had a great time. And yeah, Keyshawn Hall, double-double. Him and Kevin Overton, who came out of nowhere and scored up on 28 points as well. So we needed those guys. One thing that stood out, we shot 86% from free throws. So that's big. We had nine more makes than they did. So we won by 10 points. That might have made a difference. Mm-hmm. We shot pretty good from three, I think 54%. And we shot good from the field as well.
That's pretty good, 54.
Yeah, the best part of the night for my daughter, Catherine, is that we love Zepp Jasper, and he was the celebrity holding the N in Auburn up, and he was. We saw him after the game, hadn't seen him since the summertime, and he's doing good, and it was great to see Zepp. But it was, all in all, a great game, and then, you know, we got Arizona on Saturday in Arizona.
Yeah, Keyshawn and Overton, both left-handers, right?
Yeah.
So it was a good night for the left-handers, I guess.
Yeah, it must have been left-hander's day or something.
But anyway, those guys were
combined for 57. That's crazy.
Yeah, and shooting from way out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin was very hot. You know, it's still not – being in Neville last night, it wasn't packed. You know, there's still some empty seats. I guess that's going to change when SEC play starts. But it was a sellout on paper, but it was still a lot of empty – not a lot, but there were empty seats in there. You could tell. But it was still loud at times. We would go on a run, and then NC State would hit five or six threes in a row and take the lead or get close again. Then we'd go on a run. You know, Hod didn't do a whole lot in the box score, but he had some blocks. He only had 5 or 6 points and a couple assists, but he played pretty good, even though the score sheet didn't show it.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to have sellouts the rest of the season, right? We're sold out for the whole year, so that's a constant, but the number of people in the stands and the jungle has to get a little louder as we get toward these big games and toward the SEC. But that was fun to watch last night. I thought we'll get back to some basketball, but I want to talk some football with all the news coming out in the past week. Of course, we haven't visited since the Iron Bowl, and I went to bed at least last Saturday night thinking, well, DJ Durkin's going to be the new coach, and we wake up and about 9:30, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, we all see the news that Alex Golish from South Florida is the new head coach at Auburn. And that was kind of a shocker. Brian, what was your first take on that when you saw it Sunday?
Shock. no, I honestly, and this is going to sound bad, but I really said who.
Yeah, that's what I said. Who?
I mean, I didn't know where he's from. I didn't
know
that
on our podcast, I think.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I had to look him up. I didn't know where he's from, what he looked like, and I found out real quick. And, you know, my first thought was who? My second thought was, is it a Harsin 2.0? Somebody from the north coming into southeastern Alabama.
But he's really from Russia.
Well, that's so we went from the Ukraine having freeze Ukraine, see what I did there? To Moscow.
Dosvidaniya.
That's right. I don't know. I mean, I've got mixed feelings. From everything I hear, it's good. And the guy sounds like he's a workaholic. He sounds like he's not going to put up with stuff. He's going to be in the guy's crawl, and that's what we need, I think.
He doesn't play golf.
Yes.
Or fish. How about that for shots fired?
Yeah.
He doesn't play golf or doesn't fish. So Maybe he'll have some time to put in to the guys. But he doesn't sound like he sounds like a no nonsense cat. So we'll
he does.
See.
He
or
does.
Bear. I'm sorry, Russian bear.
Kevin, what did you think about Golish? I know there's a lot of talk about John Summerall from Tulane, and apparently that fell through at the last minute or whatever happened there. We'll leave that to the imagination. But what do you think of Golish? We're another 3 years and we're turning over again.
Yeah, very similar reaction. Who? You know, I had to go Google and look him up, but apparently he has a good resume. You know, all things aside, being a fan, Harsin said these things. Free said these things.
Sure.
We just need someone who can get us some wins. The fans, you know, this was the, I think we were the only team this year that had four night games and lost all four of them. We need to get back to Auburn, guys. I mean, whoever it is, if it's Golish, I hope he does. I wish him well. I'm pulling for him. The fans want a winning team. We need to get back to Auburn football and going to decent bowl games, having a chance to make this playoff. And we haven't done it in a long time. We hadn't beaten Georgia in forever. Hadn't beaten Bama in forever. Beat your rivals. This is focused on those things, you know. I want to see it. I know the fans want to see it. We want results. I wish him the best of luck. I hope he does well. I think he has a good resume. He likes offense. He's had a good track record. He beat some teams this year. He beat Florida this year. He hung with others. So I think it's a good fit. I don't know anything about him personally. I haven't met him yet, but I wish him all the best. But we, as fans, we want wins. We want to see proof in the pudding. You can talk all that talk, but we have to see something. I don't know if it's how immediate, but other programs have changed their programs around pretty quick with coach hires and NIL moves. So hopefully he can do the same.
Yeah. Gonna have to go ahead.
Go ahead, Doug. No,
go ahead.
I will. I just want to say Florida State beat Florida. So let's don't base it on that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Kev. No, I'm just kidding.
And Florida State beat Alabama.
Florida State beat Alabama. So by proxy, right?
And Florida beat Texas.
We can keep going.
And Texas beat Vanderbilt.
And Vanderbilt beat Tennessee. But you're right, Kevin. Talk's cheap. And we've heard the talk. Every coach comes in and does it. It's what can you do on the field and off the field? What can you do recruiting-wise? And then can you translate all the things to the field and have a product that we want to see? Maybe it's not the first year. I'm not looking forward to another, you know, 6-7 win season, but you know, I want to start the lawnmower and get it going right now, but I know that's probably not the case. What I don't want to happen is 3 years from now, we're in the same boat. But I do think keeping DJ was a phenomenal, whoever gave the money, whoever talked him into it, whoever made that sales pitch, it was a phenomenal choice. Yeah. And because I think we're going to keep some kids with DJ staying. DJ leaves, he's going to become a head coach somewhere. He's going to take some kids. He's going to take some staff.
Yeah.
And so that's my take on DJ
and
staying. I was thankful.
Let's come back and talk more about the staff, and we'll talk about a little bit about the contract that Golish signed, basketball, college football, the playoff situation, and much more. We'll be back on the show in just a minute. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back in, everyone. Doug Holton, Brian Brenchfield, Kevin Fichtner here on the show tonight, talking some Auburn athletics, college football, and college basketball. Plenty to talk about with the Tigers victorious last night at Neville over NC State by 10. They head on the road this weekend to number 2 Arizona, which could be a difficult battle out close to the West Coast. So we'll talk more basketball in a second. But guys, as we left, we were talking about Coach Golish and DJ Durkin, the ability to keep him as the defensive coordinator And I know we've talked back and forth about that. Does that work? Does it not work? Will it fall apart in the future? But Brian, as you mentioned, I think a great move for Coach Golish coming in to keep DJ Durkin. I know DJ was crushed by the news on Sunday, but they were able to keep him, and I think keep a lot of this roster intact for next season, which is going to be huge. Not starting over, Kevin, as we did, you know, we've done a couple times here in the past 6 years.
Yeah, I think it's a great decision to keep him. I think he was already the highest paid coordinator in the country, so maybe he got a little bit of a raise. But a lot of times when you take the interim job, you don't want to go back to your old position. We want to go somewhere else. So like Brian said, like we talked about it, whoever got that contract signed or, you know, talked to him and said, hey, we really want you to stay. Can you do it for us? Whoever waved that wand, I'm glad we got him. And he'll be great because, like you said, if he's not going anywhere, he won't take anyone. So hopefully we'll retain a lot of the players. And he already has a great defense, you know, and will only get better, hopefully, going forward, where he can focus back on the defense only, yes, not the head coaching or interim coaching job as well. He can just focus on the defense.
Right. Yeah. And he'll be a head coach before long. But as I understand his deal, Brian, he got a little raise. I think he's going to be around $3 million a year. I didn't quite catch how many years that was for yet. But anyway, the other thing I heard, and I'm not 100% sure this is true, but that Coach Golish gave him total control of the defense and control of the defensive staff that comes in. So we'll see what happens there as he continues to make hires for the defense.
And that's a big confidence booster for Coach Durkin. I mean, just right out the bat, it says a lot about Coach Golish and the fact that he's willing to give that up. And I think I don't think it's a concession. Hey, you didn't get the job, I'll give it to you. I think it's confidence. I think he has confidence in the job that that DJ's done. And let's be honest, that job was impossible to come in with three games left, go to Vanderbilt, and you got about 4 days to prepare because you got to travel one of those days. And we saw, you know, maybe his focus wasn't solely on defense and you know, what happened there at Vanderbilt. And but, you know, he corrected it for the most part at Alabama. And he's just an outstanding coach. I don't know if he's a finalist. Either one of y'all know if he's a finalist for the assistant coach of the year award. I can't remember what it's called. The Broyles.
I saw the Broyles award announcement or email, but I can't remember if that was for finalist or semifinalist. Okay. He's on the list.
Be on it.
Yeah, he's gotta be on it. He's pretty high on the list, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I saw the contract also, or parts of it, for Coach Golish. And oddly enough, it was kind of what we've been talking about, a little bit of an incentive-based contract where he gets 7 point whatever as his base salary. He gets whatever it is, $1 million for 9 wins, another $1 million for 10 wins, and so on down the line. So at least John Cohen maybe started that ball rolling toward what we were talking about. If it's me, I would say 9 wins or 10 wins would be included in the $7 million. But anyway, but at least we got somewhat of an incentive based contract and maybe got out of the Jimmy Sexton trap.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, if based on our previous few years, we haven't gotten to 7 or 8, 9 wins. So maybe with the incentive, it's worth it because we haven't reached that plateau in a few years. So if we get 9 wins, you know, he deserves those extra bonuses. So, yeah, I'm glad that those are built in if we make those achievements or reach those goals.
Hey, we need to check and see if Cohen's listening to us.
Maybe a secret passage.
Maybe it's a secret handle out there. I need to check the handles and see if he's listening to your advice. So
he may have a burner account on YouTube that he watches us on.
Or maybe we should switch spots. What do you think?
No, listen. No? If he's listening and it works, then
we have more power from
talking.
The outside. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if his burner spot is something about Mississippi State baseball.
We can switch salaries. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll take his salary.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Coach Golish. We got DJ Durkin as a defensive coordinator. Cody. Another interesting guy coming back is Cody Burns, who was with Auburn, of course, during the national championship season as receiver for Cam Newton. The famous picture I have here in my office of them, of the touchdown pass, of them jumping up and down there and celebrating the national championship. But what do you make of that? Kevin coming back to apparently coach the receivers, and maybe Marcus Davis is out, and the offensive coordinator from South Florida looks like he's coming, and the offensive line coach as well. So a new look on offense, and maybe some of the same names on the defensive staff, but not all.
Yeah, I know Cody has bounced around a few years, and he's gotten more mature, I'm sure. He's learned more from these coaches that he's been with, and it's always great to come back home. I mean, he's just where he won his national championship, you know. And now he's the crowd, the people know him here. We love him, and we wish him all the best as well. But it's good to see someone come back home, like Damian Craig came back home. You know, others throughout the years have come back home, and this is just yet another one, Cody Burns. So it's good to see him on staff, a familiar face.
Yeah, we've had several guys come back: Mike Pelton, Jimmy Brumbaugh, mm-hmm. Damian Craig, like you said, and some and Tavarius Robinson. So we've had several guys, and it just helps for the culture, I think, to have an Auburn man on staff. I was coaching in Navarre when Cody was coaching at Auburn the first time, and we had some good talks about some of our players down there, and he's a good guy. I really like him, but I think he'll be good for our culture and to really sell the program, because he's won a national championship. He knows the program inside and out, and even though it's a new staff, it's still Auburn, right?
Yeah.
And Auburn's going to be Auburn day in, day out. And that's what you love about it.
Yeah. And speaking of the coaching staff, we got off to kind of a slow start on National Signing Day. On Wednesday, we signed, a couple of handful of guys. Didn't finish really high in the SEC. I think 14th, some people had us, and then 30-something in the country. So we're really going to have to go to work in the transfer portal in January and fill out this roster. We had a relatively young roster anyway, and hopefully we'll retain a lot of those guys now. But we're going to have to go to work in the portal and fill in the pieces. And one guy that I think is really interesting that was at South Florida is the quarterback, Byrum Brown, who, if you watch his video, looks like an unbelievable player. One of 12 players, I think, in college football history who has thrown for 3,000 yards and passed. I'm sorry. Yeah, thrown for 3,000 yards and rushed for 1,000 yards in a season. So the question is, he's got 1 year of eligibility left. Is he heading for the Plains to play that for Coach Golish, or what do you guys think?
Brian, go ahead.
I'll start it, because that's going to put us in a bind. I mean, what are we going to do with the quarterback room, right? It's just going to – and it's a good problem to have if you got a true and tested guy, leader, that can come in. But, listen, we halfway through Arkansas, we put Ashton in. He did well throughout the season, and it gave us a spark that we needed offensively. And we did well with him behind the ball. Alabama wasn't his fault. We missed some wide open passes, our receivers did. And then we had some, just some dumb mistakes other than that. I can't put the Alabama game on Ashton. I thought he played his rear end off. I mean, I thought he left it on the field.
No question.
I was really, really, I have a lot more respect for him than I ever have, after watching that ball game.
That fourth down, run.
Oh my God.
Sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
I thought the game's over.
No
He's
way
not going to make
that.
It.
Yeah.
No. It lasted a minute and a half. Just that, yeah. But it, I mean, 3 seconds lasted a minute and a half. But he just put his body out there and tucked the ball when there wasn't anybody, and then he had to lose confidence in his receivers because they just weren't catching the ball. And I'm talking like Kevin says, right in the middle of his chest, right? But anyway, so what is it going to do? Is Deuce going to stay if we bring in another, you know, high upperclassman? Is Ashton going to stay? Is Peyton the new quarterback that's going to sign? Is he still going, did he sign? The guy who's committed. I don't know.
I don't.
About Jackson?
We had a guy from Florida that signed, but I didn't see Peyton. No.
What about Mr. Dude Wipes, Jackson Arnold? Do we think he's gone? Is he
Mr. Dude Wipes?
Well, after the comments, did you guys see the comments from Coach Freeze in his interview?
What he
pretty much threw Jackson under the bus and said, "That's why I'm sitting here." Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I would think Jackson is gone next season. Not sure where he'll be gone to.
Well, Mr. Freeze, did you think about changing quarterbacks then? No.
Well,
then don't say that.
That's kind of the point I was going to bring up too, Brian, is about the quarterbacks. Now, it seems like the guys on offense and even defense, they really like Deuce and they really like Ashton. If you bring in a guy that's further ahead than those guys, it seems like, are the receivers going to be excited, or are they going to be, no, Ashton is my guy, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's anytime a receiver gets the ball, receivers are the most cocky people in the world.
They like to get the ball.
They want the football. And so if they can get the ball from this kid, I don't think they care. They do like, I think, the personality of Ashton and Deuce. And so I think you've got to coddle them a little bit with the personality mix. I can only go back to when I played. Stan wasn't Mr. Personality. Patrick wasn't Mr. Personality, but they sure could get the ball to you when they needed to, when they had time.
That's why we put Stan on the radio, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Mr. Personality, Mr. Color. Right.
We're just kidding.
But Kevin, what do you think about the quarterback room and the situation?
Well, if we get him from South Florida, obviously he's going to know the system, Golish's system, better than anyone in-house right now. I would think he would be the lead if he came here. I mean, Golish would get him here for a reason. If he sees Deuce and sees Ashton and thinks we're okay without, you know, that proves that he has trust in them. But how's he going to see them? There's no games. There's only practice film. There's only, you know, so much he can do. He knows what Byron can do. So if he comes, I would imagine he would be the leader in the clubhouse to get the starting gig, which may, you know, make Deuce look somewhere else. I don't know. I thought personally we would have a couple packages for Deuce in the Iron Bowl after he ran up and down the field against Mercer. But like you said, Ashton did play a great game, but I thought we would see a few packages with Deuce for the Iron Bowl. And then, Doug, back to your point about recruiting, I think this day and age, it's not as important to get these high school kids coming in. It's more about that NIL. So I think we'll be fine. We need to work on the NIL, who we're bringing in. I would say specifically the O-line. We keep saying this, but the O-line for sure. But I don't think this day and age the recruiting of high school seniors is as important as who you can get in a portal.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. The portal is most important, I think. And you get some young guys, but as we've talked about so many times, by the time they get to the end of their first year and maybe their second year, how many of those guys do you retain on your roster? Not a whole lot. Let's come back and talk some more on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report after a short break. The coaching carousel, college football, Coach Golish, college basketball, the Auburn Tigers heading toward Arizona, all that and more coming up next. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back, everybody. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Doug Holton along with you tonight. Brian Brinsfield is here with us, former Auburn Tiger and former national champion, I shouldn't say former, but Kevin Fichtner, Mr. Auburn, is with us as well from the Plains. And guys, I sent you that little snip from Hugh Freeze during the break, talking about Jackson Arnold. And I told you he didn't really account all of his losses and you know, lack of success at Auburn to Jackson. But that was a pretty stinging comment, I thought, that he made about Jackson Arnold, Brian.
Anytime somebody starts a paragraph or you know, starts their what they're going to say off by, this is not a beat up on somebody.
Yeah, it is a beat up, right?
It's gonna sting. It's gonna they're throwing haymakers.
Yeah,
it didn't work out to the level that he nor I think he used the word nor incorrectly there, both expected for him and our team, and that's why I'm sitting here. Good gosh, you know.
Where is he sitting exactly? At the lake house?
Well, he's sitting with a lot of money is where he's sitting.
Yeah.
And Jackson's not. But, you know, think about this, listeners. Your boss gets fired and then blames it on you, throws you under the bus in public or you know, whatever. But it's just not done. You don't do that. And you are the head football coach. It's your job to not just get talent here, but to develop the talent once it gets here. And he didn't do it. And then to go back and say it's on Jackson, that you don't, it can't be done. It can't be done. That's, to me, that's being a sissy.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
It's miss on evaluation and a miss on development, if you can even develop players now in the short time period they're there.
And a miss on, I'll say this the nicest way I can, gumption from a man.
Yeah.
He can't do that. And shame on him.
Yeah. Kevin, you have any thoughts on that?
I totally agree. That's the hardest thing to do is when you get fired from a position, whether it's a head coach or your regular day job, to not blame someone else. It takes a lot not to blame someone else because you never think it's you, but you, as a man, as a person, it shows who you are if you do blame someone else. You know, there might be reasons, but especially at the head coaching level, you may not want to believe it, but you have to take a lot on yourself. You can't blame the kids. And that was kind of a cheap shot, low blow there by Hugh. But he's trying to defend himself. It wasn't my fault. He's trying to get his next job, wherever that may be, if there is one out there for him. But it's just kind of tough to take that blame out on a kid. It was everybody involved, but you're the head coach. And at the end of the day, it's your responsibility.
Yeah.
And if I'm an AD, I look at what he says post getting fired and go, I take that under consideration, just like I would in business. When I hire somebody, I do look at social media. I do look at what they post, and that's a part of the decision.
And I saw one person that commented on social media, and I don't want to dwell on Coach Freeze too much, but they said, was Coach Freeze aware that in the Kentucky game, he played Ashton Daniels, correct?
He did.
They went back and forth a couple times.
How many points did we score?
Three. A bunch.
Not a bunch.
Oh, in the Kentucky game. Kentucky. I'm sorry. I thought you said Arkansas.
That was an embarrassing loss, yeah.
And then in the Vanderbilt game, we played Ashton Daniels without Coach Freeze, right?
That's right.
And how many points did we score?
A billion.
A ton. 30-something? Yeah, so anyway. All right, so enough about Coach Freeze, and hopefully on to – bigger and better things with Coach Golish, no matter how much of a surprise it was to all of us to hear that on Sunday morning. Let's talk a little bit, guys, about the college football playoff situation. And one thing that really stuck in my mind, speaking of Vanderbilt and Pavia this week, was that Pavia apparently has contacted the White House after the rankings came out and asked President Trump, if he could, by executive order, expand the college football playoffs to include the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Oh, Pavia. Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah. The president can do a lot of things, but that's one thing that he can't touch right now.
He probably thinks he can. He
probably could, but
he probably thinks, yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Or Tuberville might write a bill on that somehow.
Yeah, he could get something.
He's going to filibuster until Vanderbilt gets in.
Yeah. They had a good season, their first 10-win season in a long time. But, you know, I don't know if they deserve to be in that team, that playoff. It remains to be seen. There's still championship games to be played this weekend, and we'll see how things pan out there. But they're looking like they're on the outside looking in. But they'll get to go to a good bowl game, Cotton Bowl or some big bowl game in Florida. So they'll go to a great bowl game.
Yeah, I live just south of Nashville. We call them the gentlemen from West End. Nashville's in West End. That's what we call that part of Nashville. So they're the gentlemen from West End because they just don't make noise. But they did this year, and I really think that they could win a couple rounds in the playoffs. Pavia is just one of those kids that just figures out a way. I mean, yeah, they had a bad first half against Texas, but they almost beat them.
They came back,
and they didn't. They, you know, other than maybe a couple of turnovers at Alabama, they could have beat Alabama. So. Oh, yeah. You're really close. Oh, God, I used it. I just said it.
Really close.
I said really close.
We're putting Hugh Freeze in the past.
That's right. They were a couple plays away from being undefeated and a half. A couple plays.
I mean, I would say they're more deserving than whoever wins between Tulane and North Texas, but that's just not the way it's set up right now.
No. Yeah, but if Alabama loses, then
is Alabama in?
No. Not three loss Alabama.
If they lose to Georgia by a field goal, they're not in.
No. You don't put a three loss in front of it's Alabama. Well, they did it last year, so they may feel bad for them and put them in. That's just Alabama's luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you do if, let's say, it comes down to Alabama and Texas?
Did they play head to head? They didn't play head to head.
I don't think they played head to head this year.
That's tough. I mean, Sarkisian beat an undefeated A&M. You know, it was at home, but it gave A&M their only loss of the season.
In Vanderbilt. You
know, Bama lost to Florida State. First game of the year, yes, but look at Florida State, how they ended up.
Right.
I don't know. You know,
and Texas is probably playing a little bit better than Alabama right now, I think.
The way they finished, I think you're right.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated.
All right, talking with Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, and Mr. Auburn Kevin Figner on the show tonight. And guys, let's talk a little bit more about one of the more amazing, and I'm not even sure what the word is, stories of the year in college football. The Ole Miss Rebels are heading to the playoffs, no question about that. They don't have to play in the SEC championship game, and their coach is in Baton Rouge. Of course, they've hired their new coach, former Alabama defensive coordinator Golding. So, gosh, Brian, what a mess in Oxford, Mississippi. How have they handled this? Have you ever seen anything like this? And how many times will we see this in the next 5 years if we don't change something?
You'll see it in about 5 years when this happens again and he goes to Florida.
Yeah,
And the governor gets involved, and they run him out of Baton Rouge. I don't think he's a good fit for Baton Rouge. Lane likes his yoga and to be neat and clean, and I mean that's the Bayou, it's not going to work. He's got to get dirty. There's crocodile and alligator and all kind of stuff.
Shrimp boils. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it. There's a lot of rumors, and I'm not going to go into it. But I know a couple people in Oxford that with big ties to Ole Miss, and there's a lot of rumors running around of why he actually left, and it's not $20 million. But
let's just say that there's a lot of people saying that. Lane Kiffin has matured, but that may not be the case, right?
It may not be the case.
Yeah.
It may not be the case. He got on that plane from the tarmac, from the car to the plane, really, really quick with a lot of students.
He was kind of looking out the window to see who was out there.
That's right. So, he won't be there in 5 years.
What if the Ole Miss Rebels don't have to play in the SEC game? They're sitting there resting. They're practicing. What would happen if they win the whole darn thing?
I mean, it would be crazy. It would just fit the season of Ole Miss, I guess, if they win the whole thing. I mean, A&M's sitting at home, too. They're probably glad they lost to Texas.
Yeah.
They're not playing in the SEC championship game. They get an extra few weeks to rest. But, yeah, what's happening at Ole Miss? My goodness, it's wild. He didn't come to Auburn a few years ago because his daughter wanted him to stay. But he's got a daughter at Baton Rouge who's dating somebody. Or maybe she's not at Baton Rouge, but he's dating somebody on the LSU team. He's there now, and you can't explain it. I mean, he said he didn't do it for the money, but he's making a lot of money. You don't just get up and leave Ole Miss in Oxford, a great place to live. No pressure really to win year in and year out. Where Baton Rouge, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him. Ask Brian Kelly to win year in and year out.
I noticed Tuberville chiming in on Lane Kiffin a little bit and saying he left the same way I did in a pine box.
Yeah.
And I think Tuberville's wife, I think I remember correctly when he left, she said, at least there's more than one grocery store in Auburn. So Oxford is a nice place to live. I'm not going to get down on Oxford, but
they would have put a statue. If he would have won a national championship, yeah, they put a statue outside the stadium. Renamed the stadium or put his name on the field or something.
Yeah, they have little drives. Like I think it's like Eli Manning.
Yeah.
And it had the number 18 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And whoever else, there's Arch Manning. He would have gotten one of those too. But it's so quick. It's funny to see how quick the fan base turns. I mean, he did it at Tennessee. You know, they turned on him ASAP. And then they were at the airport flipping him off, booing him in Oxford. I mean, how quick they turn. I know he kind of hosed them, but how quick the fan base has turned.
Would there be a speed limit with Kiffin? Because he kind of goes pretty fast. It seems like so. I don't know if there'd be a speed limit.
The hardest ticket to get in college football 2026 will be when LSU travels to Ole Miss.
Oh,
that's
going
to be unbelievable.
We thought it was bad when he came up to Tennessee.
Yeah.
When he left Tennessee, came back to Tennessee, they would throw mustard bottles at him.
Mustard bottles, golf balls, yeah.
Oh, it'll be
major
it'll
security.
Be insane.
Yeah.
It'll be insane.
No question about it. And I saw Eli Manning this week on social media, and he was not happy with Lane Kiffin and talking about the Mississippi State week that he didn't even attend any of the meetings, the team meetings that week before the game, and they were still able to beat the Dogs pretty handily. But anyway, let's come back one more segment, wrap up a few football notes, and talk some college basketball as the Tigers hit the road to Arizona. Back on the show in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. One final segment here tonight as we talk Auburn football and basketball. And, guys, let's talk a little bit of Auburn basketball. Stephen Pearl and the Tigers again victorious last night against the NC State Wolfpack by 10 at Neville Arena. We talked about Keyshawn Hall and the guys last night filling it up from outside. And, wow, heading to Arizona now. The life doesn't get any easier for the Auburn Tigers as they head to Arizona. And I think the Wildcats are number two still. And I think to Atlanta after that versus Chattanooga. And then we had to play Purdue
Who's number one?
It's not a, not an easy road there, Kevin.
Not at all. We've played Houston when they were number one. We're playing Arizona at Arizona when they're number two. And if Purdue's still number one when we play them, that'll be two number ones and a number two we've played pre-SEC season. So
almost last year, right? What we did last year, running the gauntlet.
It's not going to be easy in Arizona. They've beaten Florida. They've beaten UConn. Yeah. And now they have us. And what's crazy is they go to Bama, play Bama in Birmingham the following Saturday. So they're getting a little SEC taste over the next two Saturdays. But, you know, we traveled to Vegas. We're traveling to Arizona. I hope we do well. I don't know much about Arizona's team, but they are number two for a reason, I'm sure. But our guys are going to do their best, and hopefully we can – I don't know if we'll have much of a crowd traveling to that game because it is a home game for them, but it'll be a great test for us. These are the games that you want to play before you get into SEC play that people will remember in March when it comes tournament selection time. So I am looking forward to that challenge, and I'm glad that – I know it's probably happened under Bruce Pearl, but I'm glad that we have scheduled them to play.
And it'll probably hopefully be good for the Tigers in as we get on down the line in the SEC and in the postseason to play those games early. But Kevin, I wanted to ask you, now you were there last night at the ball game. Mm-hmm. You've seen the Tigers play quite a bit against Michigan, against some of the better teams. We see Keyshawn maybe not fare as well as he did last night. Michigan's pretty good. It's not a great example, but maybe some of the really good teams we played, he hasn't really stood out as much as he did like in a game last night. Where do you see him fitting in the SEC? Is he going to be able to hit that three-pointer and get to the bucket like he did last night when we played the SEC schedule?
I think he is. I mean, I thought Tahad was going to be our superstar this year, and it is Keyshawn Hall. It's clearly Keyshawn Hall. And so I think he will be a top five, maybe, you know, in the conversation for a top player of the year in the SEC. I do think he will. He's tall, he's big, he's physical, so he can shoot that three, but he can also drive. He takes a lot of free throw shots, so he gets to the line a lot. So that is a big thing. Tahad, he stepped up against St. John's, but his good games so far this season have kind of been few and far between, where Keyshawn's been way more consistent. So I can see him as being our star player, where last year, Janai was our inside interior player. A lot of things ran through him. Keyshawn, a lot of things are going to run through him this year. And if we can get a Kevin Overton or a Mag Good or whatever his, I forget his last name, to step up here and there to help out, that would be great. One thing I did notice last night, though, is that the bench, they didn't go deep in the bench last night. Steven kept a seven-man, maybe at eight at most rotation, so he's starting to get in to see who can really play and his guys are.
Getting down to prime time. Kevin Fichtner and Brian Brensfield on the show with us this week. Appreciate their time as always. It's Auburn at Arizona, 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday, and we'll also be keeping tabs on the championship games as well. Georgia, Alabama, Indiana, Ohio State, to name just a couple. Don't forget, if you'd like to follow the Tigers all through the week, WarEagleTV.com, WarEagleTV.com. Follow us and subscribe to our X page and our YouTube channel. You can find them right there on the cover of WarEagleTV.com. Until next week, Doug Holton saying War Eagle, everybody.